Hey everybody, this is Jet for Sick Drummer Magazine, and today we're sitting down with the drummer of the metal band Ingested, Lynn Jeffs. Thanks for taking the time to spend with us today, Lynn.
Thank you, looking forward to it.
So, you know, the last time we talked with you here at Sick Drummer Magazine was 14 years ago, really back when Ingested first started out, so, you know, I don't even think you had an album out yet, except for maybe that split, and people can still refer back to that interview on our site to learn more about the man behind the drums. But just to recap a little bit, Lynn, how old were you when you first started playing drums?
I was about 12, I think it was my dad's influence, really. My dad was used to be a drummer in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing massive. He just kind of played like local shows, kind of like Thin Lizzy covers and Zeppelin covers and stuff like that. And I kind of begged him to get his drum kit down from the attic when I was about 12 years old, and he eventually did it. And then that was the beginning.
So what was like the first band you were in? Like, how old were you when you're in your first realish band?
It'd have to be it was in high school for mm-hmm. sure. The band was called Ignition. And we did a lot of. I was kind of heavily into grunge before I kind of got into the heavier side of metal. So we did like a lot of Nirvana covers and Alice in Chains and that sort of stuff. So that was kind of my first creative side of playing, I guess.
So tell us about how you even got involved with Ingested.
I'm from Wales originally, from a little town in the middle of Wales, and I was playing in bands around that area for a few years, and then eventually I joined Crepitation, which were a band from Manchester. So I started jamming with those guys, and then we started sharing the same rehearsal room with Ingested, and Ingested were having trouble Ingested hadn't formed yet, it was Age of Suffering, and they were having trouble with their drummer at that time. And then we eventually played a show together with one of my other bands that was in from Wales. And they decided to kick their drummer out. And we got talking, and we basically just formed Ingested in 2006.
So how has the band and the music you play evolved over the past 14 years that you've been together now?
Yeah, it's evolved a lot. I think the thing is that when we first got together, the scene in Manchester was quite small. So like every single gig that happened over once a month or whatever, it was always run by the same promoters, and it was always the same 40 or 50 people that went to these shows. So we were kind of all into the same bands, which were at that time, you know, bands like Beheaded, Devourment, Brodequin, Sect of Execration, you know, a lot of like the kind of early brutal and slam bands. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of like the early love, and that was kind of the early sound that we were going for. But since then, I mean, the sound has evolved a lot over 14, 15 years. So I think a lot of that has come down to touring, playing with a larger variety of bands, our music tastes all evolving as we get older, kind of individually and collectively. It's down to a lot of things, I think.
And now, didn't you guys just have an EP release last month?
Yeah, so what we did is we found the original stems of our first ever recording, which was in 2006.
Oh my god!
It originally came out on a split CD with Crepitation and mm-hmm. Castrate in 2007. But we got hold of the stems and we were like, oh my god, it's 15 years old this year. So we're like, right, we gave it to a friend of ours, an audio engineer over here in Mallorca called Nico Beninato. And we gave it to him, and it was because all the tracks were. I mean, it was talk about raw. I mean, it was all like, you know, one mic, you know, no double tracking, no click track, like nothing. It was just straight, all one take. We're like, is there anything you can do with this just to make it sound modern, I guess, and kind of bring it kind of into our catalog? And to be fair to him, he did an amazing job. So we released that last month as a little 15-year anniversary special.
And how would you say that you personally have evolved as a drummer over the years, Lynn?
I used to. Around the time when Ingested kind of got started, I was obsessed with speed. So, like, the drummers I looked up to then were people like John Englund, from Brodequin. Mm-hmm. John Longstreth, obviously, George Colias, Tony Loiano. And those guys are still a huge influence on me, you know, even today. But I feel like as I've got older, I've noticed that there's a lot of people who are super, super talented. And there's a lot of people who are way more technically proficient than me and, you know, cleaner than the, you know, I play. But for me, the attraction these days is people who can really, really write songs and compose drums in a way that serve the songs and serve the albums in the correct way and not overpower the guitars or do something too complicated when the vocals, you know, need to breathe. And I feel like that constructive composition of drumming is kind of where I'm at now. I think I'm much more thoughtful about what I do on albums and live, of course.
I think that with a lot of young drummers first getting into, you know, this metal scene, everybody's obsessed with speed, so that's not anything.
Exactly. And do you know what? There's kids I see now, like, you know, on YouTube, and they're insane, like, insanely talented. You know, and it's really impressive to watch. But then I'll look at a guy like Inferno from Behemoth, and what he's doing is far more interesting to me because, you know, he writes parts that serve the songs.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, maybe I'll just get older. I don't know.
Well, you're evolving. You're bettering yourself, Lynn.
Yeah.
You're challenging yourself. I don't know. So, you know, this is, you know, I kind of like talking to drummers who've been in the scene for a while and have experiences, changes in technology and equipment and doodads and gadgets over the years. So how does your drum set now compare to your setup when you first started with the band?
Well, the thing is that when we first started, I mean, that first recording in 2006 was super, super raw. And we didn't really know what we were doing. The engineer we were working with didn't really have any kind of knowledge of metal, let alone death metal. And then when we recorded Surpassing the Boundaries in 2008, 2009, that was the first time we ever had, like, a proper recording session. And around that time, it was, bands were starting to sound super clean and super modern. So that was kind of the sound that, you know, everyone was trying to go for. So we were very inexperienced at that time. So it was the first time we recorded to a click track. It was the first time we understood that you could, you know, punch in and punch out of sections, you know, instead of just doing all one take. If there was a mistake drumming wise, you could edit it and, you know, resample that part, or, you know, lots and lots of different things. And I think over the years we've tried to step away from that a little bit. Now I'm far, far more conscious about the organic sound going into a recording. We've just finished the tracking of our, we've re-recorded our second album for a 10-year anniversary, which is coming out in this summer sometime. And for example, I spent a week basically going in and just working with my cymbal setup, you know, distance of cymbals between the microphones, making sure that the louder chinas weren't overpowering the crashes or you know, on the overheads, tuning, spending so much more time with tuning, going through different heads, making sure that, you know, we're tuning in between songs. Just everything, just the organic details now we're much more aware of. And I think the end result is far, far better.
And now, as you're going along this, you know, musical journey in drums, have you switched up any of your equipment? Like, I know a lot of people, you know, switch up their pedals, you know, some of them you know, go from chain drive to whatever. Did you do any of that stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I started with Tama, not Iron Cobras. It was the one below that. I can't remember what they were called. But that was my first ever double pedal. Then from there, I went to DW7000s, and I hated them, to be honest. They were just really, really sluggish, so they didn't last very long. And then they used Axis. I used Axis longboards for probably the best part of, I want to say around maybe 10 years, maybe a bit less, actually. I went through a few pairs of Axis. And then I switched to, what did I go to after Axis? I went to Tama Speed Cobras, chain drive again. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Pearl Demon Drives. I had them for a couple of years. And then I signed a deal with Trick last year. And when we were in America on tour with tour. We did the Surpassing the Boundaries Decade of Human Suffering tour, 10-year anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
We did that tour, and we were hitting in Chicago, and I messaged the guys at Trick, and I said, you know, any chance I could drop by and just meet you guys? And they took me around the factory, and I was just blown away by everything, like just the build quality of the pedals. The people, I think, as well, the most important, you know you're going to get the right support, whether it's tour support or, you know, if something goes wrong, that they're there to support you. But I've been using them ever since, and they're about as close to perfect as I think I've used, and I've used a lot of pedals over the years.
It sounds like it. So,
yeah.
So what part of your drum set, whether it be a stand or a similar drum, have you had the longest that is just like you will never get rid of it?
I tell you what, the one thing that stayed on my kit over the years is my Peisty Rude Megabell Ride 24-inch. That's been there. I've had that ride symbol for since 2008.
Wow.
So yeah, 13 years. And it's, do you know what, actually, I had the Rude hi-hats as well for 13 years, and they broke. I cracked the top one on the last recording session, so they lasted 13 years.
Wow.
But that ride symbol, I don't think it'll ever go, to be honest.
No. What about your like pre-show warm-up routines as you've gotten older, Lynn? Has any of that kind of thing changed?
Yeah, I stopped drinking, so I don't have hangovers anymore, which is good. That helps. Helps like stay fresh. In terms of warming up, I mean, I used to warm up loads, and to the point where I would wear myself out before I even started playing. So you get like two songs into the set and you're already fucking knackered. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of a bit more conscious of that. So just a short warm-up, just to warm up the limbs, get the muscles kind of, you know, loose. But nothing major, to be honest. I mean, I see some guys that, you know, they'll warm up with you have a strict routine. I don't really have a strict routine. I just want to make sure that my muscles are loose more than anything.
No yoga or nothing like that.
No, to be honest, I did start doing a bit of running on tour, but I noticed that after a while I couldn't do it for long periods because you just end up getting like little like niggly pains like in your ankles or mm-hmm. top of your foot. So like, I kind of packed that in a little bit. But yeah, no yoga. That's good. Yoga's good though. Is it?
For you personally, what are some of the things that you've had to work on to improve your drumming? I think one of the most popular answers is trying to work on their less dominant hand or something like that. So what for you have been some of the things if you really had to work on?
For me, it's always been my feet. I've had massive struggles with my feet over the years. I've got I can't remember the name of the term, but I've got a problem with the top of my right foot,
mm-hmm.
Where like I've had the tendonitis where the muscle. Sometimes I just have to play through pain, mm-hmm. and I've struggled with that for a few years. So I've been through like many different techniques over the years until I found something comfortable. And the most comfortable for me over the last maybe 2 years actually is double strokes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a kind of heel toe. So that's been the one major development for my playing of in the last few years, to be honest.
And how would you describe your style?
Not a skin tickler. Definitely not that. If I'm going to play a blast beat of 280 BPM, you're going to hear every note. I can't stand watching people where the stick, you know, is an inch off the head or whatever. It's just like, what is the point? It just goes through me that. So yeah, I don't know my style. I don't know my style actually. Aggressive caveman.
There you go. That sounds great.
Yeah, that'll be.
So explain to us a little bit about what your at-home practice routine consists of. I mean, what do you do to, like, increase speed and endurance and strength?
Good question. To be honest, I spend a lot of time writing. I live away. Yeah, you know, far away from the rest of the guys, but mm-hmm. we're continually writing, or we're always way, way, way ahead of our albums and stuff like that. So we're continuously being creative. And to be honest, that is my practice routine. It's not really like I kind of focus on one thing and go, right, I'm going to make sure I get better at that. It's kind of the more creative I can be and the more challenging, you know, riffs and like ideas that people can throw at me. That's kind of my routine is to kind of figure out new and interesting ways to write parts. So I'm not really a very technique kind of focused guy, to be honest. It kind of bores me, and I know it's supposed to be boring, you know, practicing like that. But I don't know. Yeah.
Do you also offer like lessons and stuff like that?
No. Do you know what? I used to teach many years ago. I had a few students, like maybe 3 or 4 students, and I realized very quickly that I haven't got the patience for it at all. And I really struggled to explain how I do things. A lot of people will ask me, like, oh, you know, is it push pull that you use, or is it German grip or French grip? I'm like, I don't know. It's kind of a mix of everything. It depends what tempo I'm playing at. So, you know, my blast beat technique will change from 220 up to 290. You know, and it's kind of like a natural evolution of whether I'm using fingers or wrist. I find it difficult to explain to people. And also, one thing that a lot of these guys are good at who do teach, first people that come to mind is, like, you know, people like John Longstreth, is that they're really good at breaking it down to a very slow tempo and kind of like going through the motions. And I really struggle to do that, to be honest.
Now that you've been in the business for a bit, I mean, what have tours been like for you, and have you changed your personal routine in touring at all? I think you already answered that. You don't drink anymore.
Yeah.
Or as honestly, much.
That's a major one. I mean, to be honest, we did the Spies Icon tour last year. It's 2019 now. Last year doesn't exist anymore. but we did that, and I stopped drinking on that tour. And it was probably the best I've played since I can remember. So ever since that tour, I've packed in the booze, which has been massive, I think. And I read a lot of and watched a lot of interviews with other drummers who talk about the same thing. You know, because the thing is, when you start touring and you're in a band, you get excited and you watch all like the Pantera DVDs when you're growing up. You're like, yeah, I want to go on a tour bus and smash windows and hotels and drink whiskey and, you know, smoke weed. But as you get older, that all that stuff kind of catches up with you very, very quickly. So I think that's kind of the biggest change I've made recently.
Now, have you had any like on stage nightmares over the years, like kits falling apart or anything like that?
Absolutely loads. The one that springs to mind right away is that we played Orlando in 2019, I think. And I was using Pearl Demon drives at the time, and this is not a slight on the pedals. The pedals are really good, but they were on their last legs, to be fair. And the direct drive link from the pedal, it basically threaded over time and came loose, and I couldn't get it back in. And this is in the middle of a show. This is like maybe 4 songs into a show. So I played like one song with like one leg, and I kind of fixed it for a bit with a bit of tape, and it just kept on coming apart. It was an absolute nightmare. But yeah, I've had loads over the years, as many people have, I imagine.
Did anybody even notice it?
I'd be surprised if they didn't.
I mean, you might have heard that drummer sucks or something like that.
Like, why has he only got one leg?
Other than ingested, Lynn, what other projects do you got going on?
So during lockdown, myself and Ingested's audio engineer, Nico Beninato, we started a project just to pass time, really, just to do something a bit creative, because he didn't have any work and I wasn't touring, so we're like, right, let's just do something. So we started a project called Mal, which is, in Spanish, it means evil. And it's basically just me and him just writing tunes, no kind of specific style, like, oh, it's gonna have to be death metal. It's just whatever we think's cool. But we got to a point when we were actually doing the project, we're like, how are we gonna get a vocalist? Because, you know, how can we get someone that's gonna, you know, be able to commit? And I was like, I know a lot of people. Let's just get guest vocalists for every different song. So yeah, we've done that, and that's coming out in the first EP is coming out in, I want to say March, April.
That's pretty soon.
Yeah, so I mean, it's only going to be a studio project. It's never going to tour, but it's just something to have on the side and, you know, stay creative, I guess.
So what is your current setup for your drums when playing this with Ingested, and what sponsorship do you have, Lynn?
Okay, so I play Pisces cymbals. Been with them for, well, since 2008. I've actually just changed it up recently. So I play Rude Wild Chinas. I've got 16, 18 inch either side. Crashes, I used to play, well, I played all sorts. I played Rudes, I played Alphas, 900s, and I just switched up to 2002. So I'm playing 2002 Crashes. Mm-hmm. I've got Signature, Dark Energy, 10-inch Splash. I've got an Alpha, 14-inch China. I just changed up my hat because the Rudes broke. So now I'm playing Signature Series, Dark Crisp, 13-inch. And then I've got the Rude Mega Bell Ride as well. So, yeah, that's what I'm playing for cymbals. For drums, I play British Drum Company. I signed with them about 2 years ago. The drums are actually made, handmade in Manchester, about a mile away from where Ingesta's based.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they're absolutely phenomenal, like really, really good. So they're all Birch. It's called the Legend Series. They've got 10-inch, 12-inch toms, 16-inch floor. Play 20-inch by 16 kicks, and then I use a chrome over brass snare drum. It's called the Bluebird snare, and then pedals a trick, sticks the London Drumstick Company. That's about it.
Do you prefer birch over the other woods?
Yeah, I think so. I played maple before, and you know, Babinga, and, you know, when using other people's kits more so than mine. I feel like birch has a projection to it that you just can't get out of maple, in my personal opinion. And it was one of the, it was one of the first things I noticed when tracking. To be honest, the toms sing; they just sing a little bit more. With maple, you get that kind of that punch and that thud, which is very, very cool and obviously very good for death metal. But I like my drums to be a little bit more versatile, so.
So what's your drumming plans for this year now, whatever the hell's going on in 2021? Well, both bands and personally.
I know. I mean, we just don't know. I mean, we finished tracking Surreption, a re-recording of our second album. So that's done. That's been submitted. That'll be coming out in the summer. We're writing. We're going to continue writing for a new album. We don't know when that's going to be out or anything yet, but it's still early days. In terms of touring, we're scheduled to play a tour in May to do a headline European tour, which has been rescheduled twice already. But as the current situation stands, we don't know yet. I mean, we won't say anything for sure, but it's not looking good. So that'll probably get moved again. Like I said, we don't know yet. No, I was just going to say, apart from that, I mean, we've had so many tours rescheduled in the past 18 months. It's just, I mean, we were supposed to go to Australia last year, Asia. They've both been moved, well, postponed indefinitely. There's been an American tour that we've been booked on that's been moved twice already, so you just don't know.
Yeah, a lot of things are getting moved to next year already, you know. It's, you know, I guess it's like, yeah, you said, I just have to wait and see what the hell's going on.
I'd be surprised if there's any tours that happen in 2021.
In closing, what do you personally love about playing drums, Lynn?
That's a good question. I think the mental side of it, I think it's a really good way to express yourself in lots of different ways, you know, physically as well. But I think mentally, I think it helps with a lot of people, including myself, I think, with anxiety. Mm-hmm. I think it's really good in that sense. It helps you stay focused and stay creative. It doesn't help your hearing so much. But from the physical side as well, I think it can keep you pretty fit as well, to be honest. You can burn quite a lot of calories, especially when you're playing the stuff that we do.
There you go. That's being optimistic.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a difficult question to answer, actually.
We're going to post some links to Lynn's band and projects if people want to learn more. And Lynn, thanks for joining us back here at Sick Drummer Magazine to let us know what's going on with you, and all the best to you and all your projects you got going on.
Thanks for having me. Really enjoyed it.